looks like, no matter what it feels like. Amen. Victory belongs to Jesus. Understanding that his time is not our time, and our time is not his time. And many a time we don't understand his time, but it's not up to us to understand his time. It's up to us to just have faith. And believe and said, if God said it in his word, and if he said it, if he told you that it will, that it shall come to pass. Amen. Do you receive that? Amen. We're going to greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord.
That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I, aren't you glad this morning God loves us? He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and what God is doing is not to hurt you, but it's just to get you to repent. Behold, I stand at the door and the proper translation should be, keep knocking. Aren't you glad that when God knocks, he don't just knock one time and walk away? Amen. Aren't you glad that you might mess up, but God keeps on knocking? Others may stop knocking, but God is still knocking. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him, Lord, if we ever needed to overcome, today is a time for us to overcome. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and may sit down with my Father in his throne. He she that hath ear, let them hear what the Spirit said unto the church. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we're not here this morning because we've been so faithful. Lord, we're not here because we haven't made mistakes and errors along the way. Lord, we're here this morning because of your great love that you love, that you have for us. We're here because, Lord, your love looks beyond all of our faults and see our needs. So, Lord, as we assembled here in thy presence, we're asking you to speak to us. Lord, send a word of anointing. Lord, send a word of healing. Oh God, search every heart this afternoon. Lord, search every mind today. And oh God, we ask you to send a word that will set the captive mind free. Lord, send a word that will heal the bruised heart. Lord, we ask you just send a word that you may open spiritually blind eyes. Lord, send a word in the name of Jesus that you may open spiritually deaf ears. Lord, send a word to heal. Lord, send a word to deliver. And send a word to set free. Can the church say in Jesus' name?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Desensitized spiritually. Amen. And the sad part about what's going on in the church, that this spirit is even affecting leadership. Amen. Leadership in the church. Things that used to be sin, today they're trying to make it not sin. Amen. Things that God hated in the past, God still hates today. Sin has never changed. God always views sin the same. I don't care who tells you that God is a loving God and that he won't punish you. Amen. Revelation, we read back a little further, says, and the books were open. And everything that we've done in our lives were written in the books. And the Bible said we're going to be judged out of the book for the things that we have done in our lives. And I heard Paul tell Timothy, woe unto those who sin, follow them up. So if woe unto those who sin, follow them up, that means God has not changed his opinion on sin. He is still, sin is still displeasing to him. But blessed is the man whose sin goes up before him. In other words, you made it right before the judgment. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
But many have lost their sensitivity to God. No passion for salvation. Things that should matter or should be secondary to God have taken over. But let's go back to the reading of the word. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18. And then I will give us our message. And then I'll give us a little history on the Laodicean church. Now remember this, God never deals with us with an abstract, something that we're not familiar with. When God deals with us, he deals with us within the culture that we're familiar with. So God's not going to deal with me about being a millionaire because I'm not a millionaire. You understand? So God deals with all of us within the culture that we live in. So if that's why it's so wrong when people go to somebody and say, well, if I were you, I would do this. You don't live in that culture. God deals with every last one of us according to the culture that we live in. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So he tells them in verse 17, because thou You say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and know not that thou art. He said, you are wretched. You think you got it because you got wealth and riches. He said, you are wretched, you are miserable, and you are
poor.
How can you be rich and poor? Because God said, you're looking at your substance, but I'm looking at your spirituality. Your substance is rich, but your spirituality is poor. And not only are you poor, but you are
blind.
Well, how can I be blind when I'm rich, when I have all of this? Because you are spiritually blind. You can see, but you're missing the most important thing, and that's God. Amen? And naked. Now, we know that Laodicea, they were a wealthy church. They were clothed. They were rich. Amen. And they had everything. But he said, you are naked, meaning you are not properly clothed. You don't have on you the clothing of humility. You don't have on you the clothing of humbleness. In other words, you have all of the natural stuff well, but you come up short when it comes spiritually. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be
rich.
Well, if I'm already rich, why do I need gold? That gold is symbolic of your faith. Jesus is taking them from the natural riches to the spiritual riches. So he said, you're blind, you're poor, you're miserable, you're wretched, and you're naked. Why? Because you got all that wealth, but you are poor towards God. Amen. It's just like the man that built the barn, and he said, I will restore all my goods. Amen. I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater. He said, I will do this. And truly, he had riches. But God told him, he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall those things be that thou hast laid up? He said, so is every man that is rich, but not rich towards God. So today we want to be more rich toward God. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
He says, I counsel thee about me gold, and let it be
tried
in
the fire.
Well, why does the gold have to be tried in the fire? Because fire purifies the gold.
Yes.
Amen. I heard some people say, I have a trial, and this trial is wearing me out. Thank God for the trial. That trial is purifying you. He says, I want my gold to be tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So our message today is a spiritual father. Amen. A spiritual father. And have you become spiritually desensitized? A spiritual fog. Now, how many of us have driven in fog before? When you're driving in fog, it's hard to see. I remember many years ago when we lived in Rich Liville, thank God it was only for a short period. Amen. It was the wilderness.
Amen.
It had one store in the whole town, and if you wanted some real food, you had to drive like 30 miles away to get food. And I remember, I don't know if I went to get food or what I was doing, but I was coming home, all backwoods. The only thing out there with us was the bears, the raccoons, skunks, and wildlife. I lie not. That's my kids.
Amen.
At night, when they said it was black, it was black. Amen. And I was coming home one night, and I ran into the fog, some fog. I couldn't even see 5 feet in front of me. It didn't do no good to stop or pull over because there were no rest stops in that area. There were no pull off the roads in that area. So I kept driving slowly. So I said, you know what I'll do, since it's so foggy, I literally couldn't see nothing. I said, I'll turn on my high beams. How many know that's a mistake? Because when I turned on the high beams, it blinded me. Because the fog was too great. The fog is a cloud on earth. Amen. So a spiritual fog is you're in a cloud. You can't see far. You can't see a great distance. You are blinded. Amen. A spiritual fog. So you're trying to turn on the lights. And how many know when you turn on the lights, it gets worse? Well, I'm afraid that in this spiritual fog, saints, we can't just go and turn on the lights because it'll blind us. Amen. So many times you have to turn on your flashes and you have to pray that you can get through. As a matter of fact, when we were in Georgia about 3 or 4 years ago, they had a, I think it was a 40 or 50 or 60 car pileup. And we ran into some of the ministers that were in that pileup. They said all 60 cars just piled into each other, tractor trailers and all, because they could not see. Well, was the problem that they didn't have eyes? No. The problem was that they were in a fog. Well, today, many of the people in church are in a fog. They can't see, but they cannot see a great distance. Amen. I'm going to go, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 for a minute. We'll come back to this. Now we're talking about being in a spiritual fog. We'll go through the details of that spiritual fog a little different in a few moments. But let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and start in verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Now, we're trying, how many want to have a passion for God?
Amen.
A passion for God said, listen, if you don't want to go, I'm going to still go with God. I have a passion for God. A passion for God is anybody, if by any means I can get to church, I'll get there. Amen. There are times when we can't, but it's not because I choose not to go to church. I have a passion for church. Amen. Years ago, I used to work the midnight shift too. Amen. And the church I was in, from the midnight shift, we got off at 8 o'clock, got home at 9, and church started at 9:45. I never missed one service because I had a passion. Church, Sunday school started at 9:45. Church started at 11. We would get out of church around 2 and still have evening service at 6. And I didn't miss a one of them because I had a passion. And look, God kept me through all of that. I don't know if it was common sense or not, but he kept me. We only have church one day. 2 days. Wednesday is Sunday.
Jesus.
Preach. Preach.
Preach.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
I got a passion to be saved, and I got church. He said, feed me with what? Food that's convenient for my soul. And we can't come to church. Somebody said, well, it snowed yesterday, and today it's clear.
All right.
Y'all ain't gonna be all right. I'll preach it myself. Where is your passion for God? Listen, God is not accustomed to these excuses that we keep making. God won't accept them. All right, let's go. Instead of me talking, let's let the Word of God talk. Amen. It says, verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1, a passion to be saved. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If it snows on Monday and you have a job, I just want you to entertain this. Do you go to church? I mean, do you go to that job on Monday?
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Some do, some don't. That's right. Well, why do you go to that job? Because you have a desire or passion to have money to fulfill your needs. So you go to that job. It could be 20 inches of snow. Matter of fact, I was with Deacon George the other day. They sent them a text the day before saying, it's going to snow tomorrow. We still want you to work on time. He was like, why are they sending me a text? I know on my day off.
Jesus.
Deacon George, is that the truth? It's true. They sent him a text saying, yes, it's snowing tomorrow, but we still expect you to be here.
Jesus.
I said, Deacon George, I'm going to try that for church. Right. Try that for church. Yeah, it's going to snow tomorrow, but I still expect you to be there. Listen, we're not foolish. You all know that. If the weather's bad, we don't make people come out because we don't want you to put yourself in a dangerous situation. But at the same time, amen, if you only live 5 minutes away from the church, I believe God will get you here safely. How many minutes? Well, I looked outside and it looked so bad. Well, you should have got on the road and saw it was clear. And guess what? Every storm, no matter if it's 30 inches, I still got to come to the church.
Amen.
And those brothers that helped me, Minister Anthony, Deacon George, Elder Gibbs,
and whoever else helps me, we still got to come. Because we have to clear the church so that the church is not liable. And guess what? We get an attack on the messiah. So why am I saying, well, I went to church and cleaned it, but I can't go to church and have church? Sometimes when we have that, I just come to church and pray because I'm already here. Because I have a passion. We need to stop making up excuses. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us, God's power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and so you want to live and have godliness, you need God. You need God's power. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. So when you're in God, you can escape the corruption that's in the world. He said, now, it's good that you're saved. How many of us are saved?
Amen.
How many of us believe? It's good you're saved. He said, now, besides you being saved, you need to add to what you have. Your passion. Besides his giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and culminate the whole deal with charity. Right? In the end, whatever you add, it should conclude in love. That's what charity is. He said, for if these things be, sometimes, well, how don't I have a compassion? Are these things in us? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that, if you lack any of these things, he's what?
Blind.
Wait a minute, I can see. What do you mean I'm blind? Yes, you can see naturally, but you can't see spiritually. Well, what's the problem? You've been saved, but you haven't added to. Faith is virtue, and virtue is spiritual excellence. Then after you get your spiritual excellence, you need to have the knowledge to use it properly. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Then after you get the knowledge, you got to have some self-control, temperance. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So what I'm doing, I'm adding the stuff that people can't see is on the inside. Well, why do you add? Because it's a passion. It's a fire burning in my soul. I had a little finger. My finger was hurting me. Now this is facetious. Y'all ain't got no finger. My finger was hurting, so I went into the aspirin and I didn't come to church. But if your finger was hurting, I bet you went to work. So how do we answer God with this imbalance? What excuse do we give to God when we can sacrifice for the natural, but we're blind to the spiritual? What excuse are we going to make to God? He said, wait a minute. Because you're not adding to your faith, you are blind and cannot see afar off. But that's not even the worst part. He said, you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. Well, what's the problem? You've lost your passion. When you lose your passion, you don't increase. You decrease. You diminish. Amen. So let me go back to Revelation chapter 3. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Now, Jesus addresses seven churches in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Seven different churches. But when he gets to the church of Laodicea, he addresses them differently. Right? All the other churches, he said the church of the church in. But when he gets to Laodicea, he said the church of the Laodiceans. He changes the address. He doesn't address the Laodicean church. By the way, the Laodicean church is our church age that we live in today. He does not address the Laodicean church like all the other churches. He's in the church of the Laodiceans, which means that church is not controlled by God, but that church is controlled by the Laodiceans. Well, what does Laodicea mean? It means ruled by the people. It was a democratic church. they decided what they would and would not do. So Laodicea means they are ruling God's church their way. That's the church of the Laodicean. Well, what God does to the church of the Laodicean, he uses what they are familiar with in their culture to get them to see you are blind and cannot see afar off. He gets them to see that you are blind and you have stopped adding to what you are diminishing. You're not increasing in faith. You're not increasing in faithfulness. You're getting further away from me. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So he says to them, if we look at it, Jesus tells the Laodicean church, he said, you have a problem because I'm not Lord in your life. Your decisions are based on your personal opinion. Because Laodiceans means the people rule. It's a democratic church. How many know in a democracy, the people rule? But this is not a democratic church. The church ought to be a theocratic church, which means God rules. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So it is a theocratic church. But let's go to verse 15. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now, these two particular words, cold and hot, he only uses it to address the Laodicean church. Yeah, there's a whole lot of colds and hots in the Bible. But they, in the Greek, they have a different meaning. That's not one of the mistakes that we make when the translators translate. When they use hot, there's more than one different hot. There's more than one different cold. So when he's addressing the Laodicean church, is this cold and hot is particular only to them. No other church, no other body has this distinction. They are that different. Well, what's the problem? It's too much of you and not of God. Amen. Last Sunday when Minister Simon was praying, he said, what was it again? It's about us, but not us. That's right. It's for us, but it's not about us. You know what the problem is in church? Everything is about us now. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So he tells them, he said, you're not a cold or a hot. Cold means that if you are cold enough, you will realize when you hear the word of God, I need to change. And if you are hot enough, you will have a passion for God. That hot means you're boiling over. Amen. You're boiling for God on the inside. You have a passion. He said, but I will that thou art cold or hot, but because you are
lukewarm.
Lukewarm is the only time this word is ever used in the scripture. It's for the Laodicean church. They were different. He's telling them, he said, your characteristics are different. Your mindset is different. So lukewarm is only applied to the Laodicean church. He said, you're lukewarm. He said, therefore I will. That means I will vomit you out of my mouth. Only time it's used is for the Laodicean church. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Amen. Well, what was the problem? The Laodicean church began to rule God's church their way.
Yes.
If I want to do it, I'll do it. If I don't want to do it, I won't do it. God said, wait a minute. You can't see afar off. You are blind. You can't see that you are no longer in a place of conviction and commitment. You'll compromise every time because you don't have a fire burning. Thank God Jeremiah said his word was down in me. I'm talking about boiling. His word was down in me like fire shut up in my bowl. Well, why do I need God's word? Because I need something when I don't feel like going that'll make me do it anyway.
Sick.
When you vomit, that means you're what?
Sick.
God said, I'm sick of what the church has given me. So I'm going to vomit this out of my mouth. I'm sick of the fact that you come when you feel like it. And if you don't feel like it, you don't come. Somebody say, I ain't coming back to that church. That's right. God's word is in you. Who's this in you? Because this is your culture. So when the water came in, it was hot. They drank it. They would spit it out. Amen. If anybody's ever tasted sulfur, they know how bad it was. So God said, just like you spit out that natural water, I will spill you out. Because I'm using your culture to judge you spiritually. We need to come clean with God. We need to be truthful. Let's close in Jeremiah, the 5th chapter. All right, I got like a whole lot of notes, but I'm going to keep you all here all day. I heard somebody say, well, thank you, Jesus.
Crazy.
But what I'm saying is, get your, people need to get a passion back for God.
Amen.
Just because your little toe hurt, listen, if you have to hop to church, hop in here.
All right.
I've done it before. Amen. There's times people say, you're not going to church like that. I said, yeah. Matter of fact, I was in Georgia. What's your name? Jill's not here. My wife was there, I was in Georgia, and we were going to the council, and I don't know what happened to my leg. The devil was messing with my leg. So my leg was swollen up so big. Right? You remember? My leg was swollen up so big. Bishop said, whoa. He said, you need to go to the hospital. He said, that's bad. He said, I can see it through your pants. My pants look like somebody took the balloon and just pops them up. I said, nah, Bishop, I'm going to church. I couldn't go to the hospital. I just go to church and let God heal me. Right? I couldn't walk, listen. They said, all the men come up front. I said, you got to be kidding me. Amen. If you can press for, all of us will go the extra mile for our children. Can we say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Your children can't save you.
Amen.
Only God can save you. Your passion is, I can't let nothing stop me from getting to God. I'm in that situation, I said, man, now I got to go to church, but I need, this isn't like this, your emergency this morning. I said, man, I need to be in church. But he got an emergency. So what do I do? Honestly, so what do I do? Play. Get rid of some of your knowledge. That's what you do. Psalm said, much wisdom, much grief. I said, get rid of some knowledge so you don't get calls. So I go down to the house. I'm like, it's 10:30. Hey, light up my line. His basement is flooded. Am I telling the story too much? Okay. His basement is flooded because his hot water tank breaks. I was like, man, I got church in half an hour. But his house is flooded. What do you do? Honestly, right? That water wasn't to pour down. And I was like, I'm in the suit with my black hat on. I ain't gonna change the clothes. What am I gonna do? Honestly. So I was like, so he said, well, Dad, just go ahead and don't worry about it. I said, no, I can't leave you like this because I had to turn all the water off in the house because they didn't have a shut off, so they didn't have a toilet or nothing. I was like, Lord have mercy. Then we're gonna have people come to church and pass it all day. Always want us here on time. But I was here at 6 this morning, still.
Amen.
I'm just saying, you have to allow your God-given conscience to rule sometimes. And don't be so lazy. Because I didn't want to look at that pipe today, this morning. I don't want to look at it tonight when we got a chance. So I said, Lord, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Because I got half an hour to go to the hardware store and get back, turn that water off, replace these pipes, and be in church. But I had a passion, so God made a way. I came walking in the door, it was 10:58. So in two or 3 minutes at his house, God gave the door because he had a passion. I could have said, this is your problem. And this is what many of us are doing. I'm using that as an example to say we don't do it to each other, but we do it to God.
Yes.
We use excuses for why we can't do it.
Yes.
Anybody know how to fix a pipe, a water pipe, go to Mr. Simon's house today? But what I'm saying is our passion has to change. Our mindset has to change. Stop allowing yourself to be a Laodicean and let other people rule your spiritual life. That was the problem with the Laodicean church. They allow people to rule. Let's, I'm going to finish here. Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, verse 19. Jeremiah said, now we know Jeremiah preached to the people of God repeatedly, you need to change your ways. Stop listening to all these false prophets that are prophesying lies. He said, stop listening to them because they're not giving you God's word. If anybody's not giving you God's word, don't listen. Verse 19, and it shall come to pass when you shall say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have
forsaken me.
This is what God said. Like as ye have what?
Forsaken me.
And served
strange gods in your land.
So when you don't do for God, you are serving strange gods. Anything that you say, well, I know I should be the church, but I'd rather do this. Right? On the Wednesday night, somebody called me and they said, I got tickets to the New York Yankees. Do you want to go?
Jesus.
I mean, no, that's like a little temptation. I can't cancel church. And I can't think of an excuse why I can't go. So I said, nah, you better go ahead and go. I got church tonight. Because I got to put God first. Because I cannot forsake God even in my pleasures. Amen. He's like, as you have forsaken me and served strange gods in the land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this. Oh, anytime you make decisions, it's not for God, it is foolish. And without, listen, anytime you allow anything to rival God is foolish. And you lack understanding. Which have? God said, listen, yes, we're not talking about your natural eyes, we're talking about your spiritual eyes. Because your natural eyes is taking you away from God. You have eyes in you, which have ears, and you don't hear. Well, what's the problem? We're not talking about the natural today, saints. We're talking about the spiritual. Oh, you have to anoint your eyes with eye salve. By the way, eye salve and that anoint was only used that one time too. Now, we know there's a whole lot of anointing in the Bible. But that anoint and eye salve, the only place you find it is for the Laodicean church. They were different. So God dealt with them differently. Because they made an eye salve in Laodicea that they sold all over the world. That's what helped them get riches. But the eye salve couldn't help them see spiritually. Amen. They had black wool in Laodicea. I should have said this. Their black wool was sold all over the world. That's what helped them get rich. But God said, your black wool won't help you. You need to have white raiment. Amen. Because white raiment is symbolic of being washed in the blood. So you have all of this natural resources, but they're not doing anything for you spiritually. Verse 22 says, fear ye not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Don't you still reverence God? Don't we still fear God? Will ye not tremble at my presence? God said, wait, have you gone so far that you don't fear me anymore? You don't fear in my presence, which I have placed the sand, the bounds of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. God said, listen, I got all power. I told the waters you can't go further. So I gave even the waters a bound, right? Because the earth is 80, the but God set a boundary so the waters would not go over. God said, I have all of this power. Don't you realize who I am? And the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people has a rebellious heart. They are. God said, wait a minute. When you rebel against me, it takes you away. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their mouth, in their mind. Neither say they where? We're not talking about head knowledge. Now we're talking about heart knowledge. Neither say they in their heart. Let us now fear the Lord. Where are you going to see it? When the heart is right. Lord, thank you. When the heart means well. No one can make you go away from God.
Amen.
Amen. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord God, the given rain, both of former and latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. He said, but your
iniquities
is when you have a disregard for God's word and God's law. When you know, like, tithe, how many know tithing and offering is a commandment?
Amen.
I didn't make it, God made it. How many know you're supposed to love one another? That's a commandment.
Amen.
How many know you're supposed to forgive one another?
Amen.
These are all commandments. He said, but your iniquity said, I know what God says, but I'm going to do it my way because I'm the only sin. I'm going to rule my own life. Don't rule your own life. Let God be sovereign in all of our lives. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sin have withholden good things from you. Don't allow anything to replace God in your heart. Let God be real, and you be real with God. That's all I'm saying. So those are indicators of whether or not you're in a spiritual father. See, I came to church to shout. Y'all can shout next Sunday when we're preaching because I won't be here. Right? But my concern today is, how does God view us? Seriously. You can think you can deceive everybody, but God knows the real us. And the problem with the Laodicean church is they feel as though they can pull the wool over God's eyes. You cannot fool God. God says, I see you everywhere you are. I'm acquainted with all your ways. There's another place that you can go. God says, you can hide from me. So today, are we in a spiritual fog? Amen. Help me become spiritually desensitized. Sin is still sin. It was sin yesterday, it's still sin today. Was it with God, a loving, forgiving God? Yes, but you cannot presume on God's mercies. You cannot send away your days of grace. Amen. You have to be true and real to God. You have to be for real with God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, that the trying of your faith, all of our faith is on trial, is much more precious than gold, boy, be tried with. Fire. Go through your hardships, go through your trouble, but don't quit on God. He said, because when you don't quit, it'll be found out the honor and praise and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gifts.
Amen. Hallelujah.